welcome back to Bit by Bit here for our bi-weekly podcast. I'm Janet, here with Jess.
Hey guys.
And today we're going to be talking about continued content for existing games. And by that we mean these content updates that happen to games that are more than just patches. So we're talking, you know, added characters in Overwatch, we're talking weapons and new maps in Splatoon, or to be more specific, Splatoon 2. So we're going to go down the line. We're going to first talk about those games because those are the ones that like stick out most, they're the most modern, they're the ones that we've been playing, like, a whole lot of. Then we're going to talk a little bit about how does this continued content update affect our relationship with the game, the way we play, and also the community at large, and, you know, any other examples we have of dealing with games that have this and how it, you know, affects our fandom or not. And then we're just kind of going to sum everything up, leave you guys with some questions, and that's kind of how we're going to conclude things off. So to start off with, since, you know, I'm already going for it, I'll just go with Splatoon 2, because like you guys know, I have played Overwatch, but I haven't played, like, a whole lot of it. It's more of, like, Jess's, you know, main shtick right now, so I'll just, you know, hold it down for Inkopolis over here. So, Splatoon 2, it is, you know, what's the proper genre of this? It's kind of like an FPS, it's kind of, like, has some, like, other genre characteristics, but basically, of course, you guys already know the premise. You cover stuff in paint. And there's also other modes of the game as well, too. Especially in Splatoon 2, we have, like, Salmon Run. We have, like, a new campaign. We have tower control once you get to ranked mode. So, like, ranked mode is different than, like, the, you know, traditional game mode of just turf wars and things. But all that being said, the main, like, continued content support that Splatoon 2 gets is, of course, new weapons, very notably new maps. And I think one of the big things, too, in the Splatoon 2 community or in the Splatoon community is the support of Splatfest. So that's not necessarily even a content thing, but that's just, like, so, you know, for those of you who don't know, need a refresher on it, Splatfest is an event where Turf Wars for, like, a day or a weekend, it turns into, like, there's, like, a special event thing, which Overwatch also has, like, these special events mm-hmm. that happen. So for Splatoon, it's Turf Wars, but it's themed, so you pick a side. So it's, like, cake versus ice cream. This time it's ketchup versus mustard, which is dumb because, like, who cares about ketchup or mustard? But whatever. So you'll do that. And that's kind of how you know, like, the game is alive. Like, which, you know, we just kind of realized with Splatoon 1, when that came out, before we even knew there'd be a second one, we're like, once they announced that Splatfest, this would be the last Splatfest, we're just like, it's it! The game's over! Like, the whole, you know, you just know that, like, people aren't, you know, vibing with that community anymore. Nintendo, that's like, Nintendo's sign of, like, it's done now. Like, you can keep playing, but
no one else really is.
Yeah. But yeah,
I've so that's had just that happen in a few games.
Exactly. Yeah. Fast Storm X. Where is everyone? I mean, I'm not there anymore either, so I guess I'm part of the problem. But
Warcraft
yeah.
3.
So. Exactly. So that's kind of how that content support presents itself in Splatoon.
Yeah. And for Overwatch, you know, it's a lot of the same. For those of you who don't know what Overwatch is or haven't played it, it is a game from Blizzard where it's an FPS, but it's got all these fun, weird sort of powers and weapons and characters with their own abilities, and it's awesome and goofy and such a fun game, and that's all I've been playing for like the past month and a half. And I was really late to the Overwatch game, I just didn't have it. So yeah, and what they do sometimes is they bring in a new character, most recently Doomfist as a notable one, and I think that's just like one of a very few that have come out. I only started playing a couple months ago. I know that Sombra mm-hmm. Was also a character that was not
Anna.
There.
Is it Anna or Anna?
Anna.
Yeah, she was cool.
Who's not great. I don't like her. I don't think anyone does. But people like Sombra. People definitely like Doomfist so far. And basically what that does is normally when you're playing the game, you pick a character, and for most game modes, there can only be one of each character on each team, you know? So, like, if I'm Sombra, Janet can't be Sombra, like, if we're on the same team.
Right.
And so then you have to create, like, a balance to your team, and then you play against another team in different modes. Yeah. Like, it's capture the flag, or it's trying to stop them from moving a payload across the map, that sort of thing. And now there's a new character, Doomfist, who's basically this big dude with a big fist, and I've had some really funny moments in the game so far when I get, like, hit by Doomfist, and it just, like, obliterates you. Like, just, it's hilarious.
It's that Doomfist.
Yeah. It's that Doomfist. So, what I find most interesting about that for Overwatch is that there's sort of, with any FPS or any game that's sort of, like, online or, mm-hmm. like, multiplayer like this, there's, like, expected modes of play.
Yeah.
And when you get into, like, the higher ranks, people, they know the strategies. They know what you should be doing. They know how to counter what with what. They're like, oh, they've got this on their team. I'm going to switch it up and I'm going to play, you know, as someone else. I'm going to be, you know, Pharah now.
Yeah, because you can switch in-game from character to
character.
You can
switch in-game as long as you're in your base slash having just respawned. And so there's a lot of, like, things that you have to know about how to approach the game, and a lot of them are based on the other characters.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the introduction of a new character is very interesting. Like, with Doomfist coming in, it's a little too soon to tell, I think, how it's going to affect competitive play,
mm-hmm.
because I just learned this recently because I was along with my brother. I was like, where's Doomfist in competitive?
Mm-hmm.
And I think this was really smart of Overwatch. They've integrated Doomfist into, like, arcade play and quick play, but for competitive, where your season rank counts,
mm-hmm.
you can't play as Doomfist because I don't want Doomfist messing up the metrics. But that's kind of the whole point, I guess, for me, that's interesting to me about, like, continuing content,
mm-hmm.
is that putting new stuff in messes up the metrics, you know?
Yeah.
They don't want to ruin someone's, like, day by putting Doomfist in, and Doomfist isn't well-balanced, and now your rank went plummeting down. But eventually, people are going to have to adjust to this whole new character in the game, because now you think, well, I'm going to play as this character because they don't have a counter on this
mm-hmm.
team or whatever, and now there's Doomfist, and now your whole plan is shot to hell, you know? So, but it happens on games like that.
Yeah.
It happens in other, you know, Blizzard games, like Hearthstone. It's a card game, an online card game, and I know you haven't played it,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, it's basically the same thing where they come out with, like, new packs every now and again, and new, like, expansions. And now, whereas before you were playing with, you know, these 200 cards, and everyone has some variation of these 200 cards that you got from packs, now there's another 100 cards, and who knows what'll happen. Because
mm.
as before, there was a definite move. When they play this, I play this. You know, if you have it, or you
right.
like some variation, or there's, like, methods to how to deal with certain scenarios. Now there's new scenarios, and there's new ways to deal with those scenarios,
mm-hmm.
and it just grows increasingly crazy from there. So, I don't know. I don't know what your thoughts are on any of this. I have a lot of thoughts on this. I'm just realizing now.
Yeah, no,
anyway,
it's totally fine.
Yeah.
Can you really quick go over what are the, like, the general, like, not roles, but what's the word? It's like, because there's, like, tank characters.
Oh, you can be, like a tank.
Healers.
You can be a support character, which includes healers, but also some people who do some other things, like Symmetra puts little, like, weird turret things. They're not
mm-hmm.
really turrets, but they have beams, and they kill you, and she puts, like, 80 of them around a door, and it's annoying. So there's support, and then there's tanks, and there's offense and defense. And I think that's it. There's four different categories.
Cool.
I know Doomfist was added to the offense category, and I feel like I can never get anyone to play as a defensive character. Competitive. It gets on my nerves. So, yeah, there's different roles like that. There's now a greater amount of offensive characters. There's way more offense characters than any other kind of type now that
mm-hmm.
Doomfist is in there. Because Sombra was also an offense character, so.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's interesting. I think it, like, for me as a player, it can be, and we were, like, talking about this a little bit before we actually sat down to record, it's definitely, like, a push-pull thing for me, because on one hand, it gives me incentive to keep going and be into it and be in the community and, you know, want to adapt. And then on the other hand, it's like, well, I guess it's over. It's too late. It's done. Like, when it comes to Overwatch, I'm kind of like, well, one, I was never really good at Overwatch, or I didn't really take the time to, like, get good or learn the stuff. So, but now it's like they just keep adding more and more stuff, and, like, I'm becoming more and more unfamiliar with what's going on. And same thing even for, like, a game like Pokemon Go, which, honestly, at this point, I'm not, you know, dying to jump back in anyway, necessarily.
Never.
Even though I said I would jump back in our last Pokemon Go video.
I'm
like, I'm gonna go jump back in. Nah, don't feel like it, like my phone battery. But even then, it's like, there's all these extra things going on, and I'm like, oh, I'm just, it's too much. I can't keep up with it. But on the other hand, it also, like I said, it incentivizes, it gets me like, okay, once I decide it's gonna be my thing, now you have to, like, live it and be about it. And the interesting thing with Splatoon 2 is, because you were kind of asking me before, you know, we even shot this, was like, how does adding new content even work? And, like, well, Splatoon 2 is such a new game that I'm not really sure how it's going to go about it as opposed to the first one. But, like, the weird thing about that is even without them necessarily having added new content since the game launched, which was only, like, I think 2 weeks ago. Like,
right,
it was
right,
not
right,
that
recently.
Long ago. Obviously, there's the map issue where you have to, like, learn the map. That's a big thing in Splatoon and probably, like, Overwatch as well. You know, knowing the map and knowing, like, what other, like, knowing where to go and what to do and how to navigate the space in a way that's going to benefit you and your team. Like, that's why, like, when I started Splatoon 2, I was like, oh my god, I don't know this map, I have to, like, figure it out, you know?
Yeah.
And the other thing, too, is, like, with them, like, I'm not even sure how much stuff it, well, I know when stuff is added, because usually I'll read articles about, like, this thing got added in here, but the other weird thing about Splatoon 2 is, like, instead of necessarily having, like, the always adding dynamic, Because the whole thing is the weapons and the gear. Like, what clothes you're wearing, what weapons do you have? Because the clothes can, like, give you certain power-ups and abilities. So, like, I can have, like, a shirt on, and, like, this shirt helps you respawn quicker. And your shoes help you, like, in enemy ink. And your pants, like, do this other thing or whatever. Or no, you can't have pants.
I
have
magical pants.
Yeah, man. Well, I don't even think they have magical pants. But you have, like, you know, hats, shirt, shoes, and then your weapon obviously does whatever. So it's like, oh, this hat, like, it, like, helps you, like, save ink in terms of your special. And then, you know, stuff like that. So there's all these different, and, like, I'll change my outfit based on what weapon I'm deciding to carry. So I'm like, well, right. I'm doing, like, this. So you have that already at play, just, like, inherently in the game. And the other thing is, like, more weapons become available as you go up in rank. So a weird thing, too, with, like, the game, and this isn't necessarily a content thing, but it can be, is, like, when can I unlock this thing? And then there's, like, the having to deal with the fact that, like, you can be playing a game, but since you've been playing longer, you have automatically, like, higher weapons, and you know this thing more, so now I have to, like, you know, that's really kind of weird. Yeah, so that's another weird thing about Splatoon 2, or Splatoon in general. Like, there are some things, like, I haven't seen yet, and doesn't mean they're new, but it's, like, in terms of, you know, adding things to a game and balancing a game and, like, figuring out when you can access certain things, it becomes, like, kind of, you know, just weird.
You know, I'd say that one reason, because I was thinking about what you were saying with, mm-hmm. like, make it's hard to jump into a game when it's constantly being updated and you feel like you're way behind when you yeah. start fresh, even though you're starting a few years after something's been out or something, like Overwatch. Mm-hmm. And I think that what's interesting for Overwatch is that the way that things are inaccessible to you at an early level, uh-huh. it actually makes it feasible for you to start mm-hmm. early, as opposed, I feel like, otherwise, like, if you don't have access to certain things, or, like, you're not as powerful when you're a lower level, it makes it worse for you, but I think Overwatch does a really good job of making that accessible to new players, because you can't play competitively until you're level 25.
Yeah.
And so everyone who's new is all in the same pool together, and they're all figuring it out together.
Yeah.
And everyone who's not new is all playing together. You know, yeah.
yeah,
there's some overlap. There's some people who can play, they can play arcade and quick play and stuff, even if they've been playing competitive. But there's a lot of newer people, or a lot of people who prefer to do that to competitive. It's like a completely different scene. It, like, lets you get your sea legs a little bit, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I think that preventing you from playing competitive at all until you're a certain level makes you really focus on, like, this early training period, you know? And it takes a long time to get to level 25. Like, it's not like, you know, like, oh, I played for 2 hours and I'm level 25. It took me a long time. It took me a couple weeks. I mm-hmm. don't have, I mean, I don't play all day because I, like, you know, work and stuff. But I think that the reason Hearthstone, like, is really inaccessible for new players, or at least I found it inaccessible, is because I started when Hearthstone first came out.
Mm-hmm.
And it was awesome, and it was basic, and it was simple, and I loved it, and I started to, like, learn everything, and for me, that's good, because I'm always worse than my brother at, like, card games and stuff, and mm-hmm. so we started at the same time playing online, but one of the things is, the more money you have, the more quickly you can accumulate cards, which
yeah.
doesn't matter at the beginning, because there's not as much cards, so you can get the same cards as everyone else if you're patient and you build up, like, gold in-game
yeah.
and buy packs, but then the more packs they start to bring in, the more variety there is, the more you need to, like, have, the more you need to use actual money. And I was never going to pay actual money for the
mm-hmm.
game, because I spent too many allowances buying $4 Yu-Gi-Oh! Packs as a kid,
mm-hmm.
only to keep sucking, you know? I'm just saying, I wasn't very good, but I try to be really good, and it's hard, you know? So I'd say that for Hearthstone, because things get too complex too quickly, and that I think that does create an issue where you can't start out new.
Yeah.
But for Overwatch, I think it's done a good job of remaining very simple. And I just started for the first time, you know, like a month and a half ago, and I
mm-hmm.
feel very comfortable in game. I don't feel like I'm behind or anything like that, which is nice.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think, I can definitely kind of throw a little bit of a wrench in things to some extent. Or there's, like, just a whole new, like, learning thing that comes with it. Though I think that's also kind of nice, too, because if you... I guess, like, it's nice if you want to, like, get immersed in the community because it gives you something to kind of talk about and, like, discuss and figure out together. Like, I'm part of, like, NVC's podcast, like, Facebook group or whatever. So, like, fans of the NVC podcast on IGN. They have, like, a group, and people are, like, over there talking about, like... Since Splatoon 2 came out, it's, like, the big game on Switch right now. They're like, hey, like, what's everyone's favorite weapon right now? What are we using? Like, what thing do we think is, like, OP? What, like, needs to get nerfed? What is, like, you know, and we're having these debates on, like, how this works out, and we're seeing how it'll, like, you know, how will the game kind of react to that, too, with, like, trying to balance stuff, if they think things are unbalanced, and kind of trying to navigate all that. So the nice thing about, you know, continued content support is that there's always something happening. So it's like, even if I'm playing for forever, like it lets me feel like I can play forever because there are more things getting added, you know, over and over again in ways that I can like feel satisfied in playing, especially with a game like Splatoon where so much of the stuff is like fashion related and the fashion actually is functional because it has like in-game abilities. So it's like, oh, I'm going to want to like go on the app every day. This is something I haven't really been doing a whole lot because I've been kind of lazy with it, but like the Nintendo Switch app, which is not good for voice chat. I haven't tried to use it, but I've heard nothing but awful things. But anyway, but on there, they have like, some cool things besides the voice chat. They have like, that you can see like your last 50 battles, like your wins versus losses, your like a bunch of other stuff. And they have like clothes on there that are like exclusive to the app. So like, it kind of gives you like things to rally around or things to like look out for or look forward to and react to. And I think having like that kind of back and forth relationship with a development team is really interesting, in a way that, you know, hasn't really happened in like previous areas in gaming, because when you put out the game, that's the game. But now not only is it patches, but it's also like creating, you know, more content, and kind of that back and forth can continue like through after the traditional development cycle.
You know, I think that's true. But one thing I guess I'm thinking about, even as we're, you know, starting to close up, is that it's probably going to be creating, like, we have more and more games that are doing this where it's like, we're going to support you forever so you can play this one game forever. Yeah. It makes it hard to be a diverse gamer. I'm playing Overwatch and I'm like, I don't want to stop playing Overwatch because I'm finally, like, getting kind of good and I want to be really good. But I know as soon as I stop playing, I'm not going to be as good.
And there's always someone out there playing. Someone's playing Overwatch and Splatoon 2 right now.
All the time. And I'm like, I'm not playing. I'm not getting better. And then I'm like, I can't stop and play this other thing. And that's one thing I guess I like about games that are not online, that are not sort of constantly updating like this, is that I can play it and finish it and feel good and put it away.
Yeah.
I can never put Overwatch away. I can't put it away. I can't.
How do you?
I don't want to, but like deep down I know that I'm deteriorating in other areas.
Yeah, and I feel that way too, especially with, you know, I have that goal of wanting to beat an X amount of games this year. And I really just, like, I'm like, oh, I have to, in this month, you know, I was looking over, setting up my goals for August, and I'm like, okay, my goal is to beat 3 games. Like, my game's already started, so I'm going to do, like, Little Nightmares. I'm going to try to, like, beat Donkey Kong, and I'll finally beat Uncharted 3 with my brother, which that's not as bad because I work with him on that. But it's like, or you can just play Splatoon, because I just hit ranked mode, so I'm like, I gotta, like,
right?
I gotta test out some more weapons. Like, and I'm especially me, I'm, like, testing weapons, kind of like the way you test characters in Overwatch.
Right.
Like, because that's how, you know, our version of that. It's, like, adjusting the weapons, the playstyle, you know, are you, like, a roller, are you a gun, are you, like, a bucket item, what's your special, like, all this stuff, what hat do you have on, like, all that stuff. I'm, like, figuring that out. And then I want to do ranked mode, because, like I said, like, my secret dream, even though I'm not actually pursuing it, because I was just Splatoon meetup, and I was not, there were definitely a lot of people way better than me, and it was not even, like, a hardcore scene. It was just, like, let's get together and play games, and I'm, like, that's really good. Oh, my God.
Playing in a room with other people that was terrible.
I want to get good. I want to be good at it. I want to be the professional Splatoon player of the Midwest.
Did you hear that they're... Okay. It's not really that much of a side note. It's super relevant. Did you hear that they're, like, making, like, competitive Overwatch teams?
Yeah.
So, like, they're going to be... Like, with sponsorships and other things like that, they could be making close to $100,000 a year. And my brother and I were talking about this, and I was like, that sounds awesome. But also... I can't do that. Like, I want to be that good, but I don't want that much pressure in my life. But I'm like, I want to be like professional levels of good, which is ridiculous because I'm like only like a gold rank right now in the rankings. Although this is my first season, so I feel good about that. But you know, I want to be like up there. I want to be like the best person in the game, and I know I can't sustain that.
Me too.
That.
I want to go into a room, like a real room, not like a virtual room, but go into a room and then like we just like play Splatoon, and it's like. Wow. You know, I want people to, like, be wowed by me. Yeah, and just be like, whoa, like, you got, like, all, even though kills don't really matter, but it's like, you inked all this turf and you got all these kills, or like, whoa, like, you just were unstoppable. That's, I want that to be me. But, like, I can't do that and be diverse in my gaming, and it...
Or my life.
Yeah.
In general.
I just want to, I just, you know, it's frustrating because, like, it's so good that you're like, damn, you know, I just want to do this, but I can't just do this. I need to move on.
I guess ultimately my point is that by having continuing content in Overwatch,
it's bittersweet.
They've probably made it so that my life will be horrible moving forward.
No, also on
I'm
that
I'm really note, looking forward to it. It's going to be great.
And it'll just kind of open up a can of worms towards the end of a discussion, and maybe
that's
like
what we're really good at.
Yeah, exactly. How do you feel about games that then make a sequel? Because we have, like, Destiny 2, and the people are like, that's basically Destiny. Or we have Splatoon 2, and it's like, why not just do, like, action? Well, the,
I can't that really, was a console move. I can't really imagine Overwatch 2, yeah, except, that's what for, I mean. Except for if they had a whole new cast of characters with, like, one or two returning characters and a whole new set of maps. But also, I don't want that, because I like my characters and my maps, so I don't mind if they just keep adding on to it forever. And I think we might be moving more in an, you know, a way like that. I think the difference with Overwatch, I don't know about Splatoon. Not, mm-hmm. I don't mean Overwatch, I mean Destiny, that's the one.
Yeah.
That has a story mode.
Yeah.
So it makes sense. It's like Call of Duty. It's like, why are we having a whole new Call of Duty? Except that they didn't used to add stuff on like they do now.
Yeah.
To things. But there's story mode, you know, and there's like, or themes or things like that going on.
Yeah. Overwatch does not have a story mode. That's true.
So there's a story mode in Splatoon? Yep. Okay, so maybe Overwatch will never see a number two, and I'm good with that. Yeah. How do you feel about it?
I think it's okay when you change enough stuff. I've heard a lot of complaints from Destiny 2 that it's just Destiny 1.5 and shouldn't have been Destiny 2. I don't know.
I didn't play Destiny 1. I don't know because
I haven't experienced any of Destiny. But yes, Splatoon 2 really impressed me. I feel like it really does feel like a new game, and they've added enough stuff. And they have, like, the new, like, characters in there with, like, Pearl and Marina instead of, like, geez, I don't, Callie and Mari or Marie, huh? Calamari.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Yeah, so, I mean, they still have... They play a role. I need to play the campaign. Actually, I haven't played the campaign. I'm like, I'm too busy trying to, like, I'm just doing, like, turf wars and trying to build ranks. I haven't done the campaign at all, actually, yet. But yeah, and they've added a couple other modes, too. They have, like, this one called Rainmaker, where you have to, it's a capture the flag, basically.
Oh, I love
but
that.
A little different. But it, but classic. Yeah, so. Yeah, so I guess it's, like, a bittersweet thing to have updates, because when you love it, you're like, all right, I can, this game is my whole life, and then you're like, oh my god, this game can't be my whole life, and then you just have to just, I guess, force yourself to move on at some point. I wonder when the last time I will play Splatoon 2 and you will play Overwatch will be, because we won't know when it happens.
I don't know. All I know is you can't come back. You can't come back later, I know, and this is the last thing, I swear, this is my last little anecdote, but I played Yu-Gi-Oh! When I was a kid.
Oh, like, yes! I was waiting for the Yu-Gi-Oh! Story. Go ahead.
I was really into Yu-Gi-Oh! My brother and I were really, like, into Yu-Gi-Oh! And I mentioned this, and I was kind of bad. I had a Fiend deck. Fiends, what up? And I loved it. I loved it to death. It did not change very much at all over the span of 1 year, partly because I was a broke child, and partly because I didn't want... My brother would be like, here's my suggestions for what you take out, and I'd be like, but I can't... I love all of them. You can't take anything out, you know? Anyway, so I was not great, but I was okay, and my brother was very good. When we were, like, in elementary school. Mm-hmm. And then, like, we got a little nostalgic. I'm just going to be really honest. I picked up Yu-Gi-Oh! For a summer in college. In college. Like, summer after my freshman year or something like that. Yeah, summer after my freshman year. And we just picked it up, and we played it for a summer. We went to tournaments again in real life like we used to when we were kids. We go to the comic book store wherever it's at. Everyone's greasy, and they've got their decks, and it's amazing. And the whole thing was different, and we sucked. And we had to adjust so fast and adapt, but... no one was using even, like, a single card from when we were younger. And I was like, what's happening? I was like, what do you mean you don't have a Blue-Eyes White Dragon?
I love Blue-Eyes White Dragon.
I know. He was horrible, actually. Like, we didn't use him. But my brother did find a really torn-up one of the gutter ones, and he treasured it forever. None of this was relevant. My point is, if I ever stop playing Overwatch, and like, for, like, a year or two, I can never go back. So I don't know when I'm going to be ready to do that.
Yeah.
It's not soon.
That's the nice thing about Splatoon. It's so simple. Like, yeah. So, it's so simple, I'm like, I can pick this
it
up.
Because Overwatch, there's no way Overwatch can change that much. Exactly. Between
true.
Now and... No, Yu-Gi-Oh! Was, like, over the top. I hope it's dead now. Is it dead now?
I don't know. Anyway. Let us know if you guys are still playing Yu-Gi-Oh! Or ever played Yu-Gi-Oh!
Please let
or
us
if
know.
You tried to leave and pick it up. You know, 7 years after the fact. I don't know how many years it was.
It was like 10.
10 years later.
Yeah.
But yeah, let us know how you guys feel about continued content support to games. What are some games that you're really appreciative that you have that? What are some games that you like maybe wish had that? What are your likes or dislikes in terms of that? Are you playing with Doom's Fist? How do you feel about Splatoon 2? Do you feel like it was, you know, different enough of a game to be its own game? Anything related to all the stuff that we talked about today, you guys can... let us know by either commenting on YouTube, which if you're not watching this and listening to this on the podcast version instead, we are at youtube.com/bitbybit. And we're also, if you're watching this, we are on all your favorite podcast services as well. And you guys can comment either on our YouTube page with your response to this, or you can hit us up on social media. We are at Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at we're at a lot of places.
And just search us, guys. Yeah. Just search. But also, we have the buttons on the channel.
Yes.
Everything's linked. We're not going to read it to you because we get tongue-tied and we make mistakes.
We're at most things at Bit A Bit Gaming, and we're at Facebook at Bit A Bit Gamers. But if you type in Bit A Bit, you will find us. What's up? Say hi. Let us know how you're feeling about all this stuff, and we will see you guys here in 2 weeks for the podcast, but in 1 week for another video.